Maybe a roll call, please.
Chairman Scholes?
Here.
Director Hill?
Here.
Director White?
Here.
Thank you, Amy. Would you all please stand with us for the Pledge of Allegiance this evening?
Please place your hands over your heart and follow me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's move on to agenda review. Do any members of the board want to change the order of the agenda as presented by staff? If not, I'll accept a motion to proceed with the agenda as presented.
So moved.
And as amended?
And as amended. Okay.
Yeah.
That a second?
Yes.
So, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. Let's move on to public comments. Is there any member of the community that would like to address the board for a period not to exceed 3 minutes on any item within the jurisdiction of this council that is not on the agenda? Please come forward and state your name for the record.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and a few weeks ago, I came to your board and I asked a question, and I thought I might get an answer by now, and I haven't. So I'm going to ask it again, and it relates to your contract with Liebert Cassidy Whitmore. I obtained the contract through the Public Record Act, and the contract was entered into in June. It was retroactive to May, while charges did not begin until August. As you know, those charges surrounded the race investigation, I'll call it that, and everyone was exonerated, but the cost of that was $40,000. I've seen emails that Ms. Welsh submitted to your board a few weeks ago, correspondence between Mr. Hill and Mr. Huebner. There were recommendations from that investigation for a mediator. So I'd like to know, first, why was Liebert Cassidy engaged in the beginning, back to May, when there apparently wasn't any problem until August? And then, where are we with the recommendation for a mediator? Furthermore, I understand there's been another claim and that Liebert Cassidy is working on that. I see continued charges on your warrant packet. So I'd like to know, you know, when is the board getting to look at these kind of contracts and expenditures? I'd also like to bring up the Public Record Act. And the intention of the act is that you answer the request within 10 days. I get the distinct feeling that your administrator holds on to it to the 10th day before he distributes it or responds to it. That is not the intention of the act. The intention is, if the information is readily available, that it simply should be turned over accordingly. As an example, I requested the items that Ms. Welsh presented to your board. I spoke to you after the meeting, Mr. Scholes, and it was nearly a week later before that information was provided to me. So I don't get it. If certainly when it's still on your desk and I've requested it, it seems very easy to scan and send via electronic email. That's what I've asked for, all correspondence. And if you could just ask your staff, ask your administrator to be more prompt in responding, I think that would be the best approach and more genuine to the public.
Time. Anyone else?
May I briefly respond to that, Mr. Chair?
We're going to let everyone have an opportunity, and then I'll give the board a chance to respond. Mm-hmm. Sound good?
Okay. Patricia Price, Rio Grande. Just a couple of things I wanted a follow-up on. One of them was I had asked a few meetings ago if we could have a direct link to SlowSpan for at least the last meeting on our website, the South Sand website. and I'm not aware if it's on there now or not. I was told it was a possibility. The audio tapes that weren't transferred over, I still haven't seen them, and I'm not a genius when it comes to a computer, although they're not there as far as I can tell. And I believe that should be done. Also, quite some time ago, there was a letter written by Mary Lucy that had gross inaccuracies in it. I would say because she was a director on this board of directors at the time, it's not okay to speak falsehoods, lies, about what is going on at our plant. I will read a part of the letter. She says, the plant is being run horribly, and we're spending millions on a poorly maintained plant. If you look at the affluent numbers coming out of the plant, you will see the 3 million gallons are so dirty you can't use it. The Hayton Eight have worked tirelessly to fire yet another good qualified manager, number three and counting. Our plant is being held hostage with Mayor Hill's advisor, Tacker, who is a friend of the field supervisor, is running the plant into the ground. It has only created more harm to us and polluted our ocean past repair. That is not accurate. Those statements are not accurate, and I've asked that something be put out that corrects that, and I would like to see that done. I would like to see an apology to John Clemens and the staff, because that is not true, and it makes the South Sand District look very bad. I just wrote a little thing down, which I will read. With our supervisor, John Clemens, the plant has been brought back to the highest standards, and it was turning $1 million profit instead of losing $1 million a year. That started almost immediately when he took over the plant. And I would like him recognized for that, and I don't feel that he has been recognized by Mary Lucy in particular.
Is there anyone else?
Mary Lucy Oceano, it always amazes me of what I get blamed for. First of all, I did not write a letter. I made a post. Secondly, I'm not apologizing for anything that I did said in that post. If people take it personal, that's on them, but it's a 30-year-old plant. It's a sewer plant, and it's dirty. So, you know, that's what happens to those plants. I want to commend you on moving forward on your policies and procedures manual. I was glad to see some movement on that. As you go into your budgets, it appears that this district request for public records is out of control, and it's fiscally killing it. You know, it's hard to capture it in the budget. You can't tell how much staff time is really directed towards hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of public documents, and that was not what was intended when the Public Records Act was created. It wasn't created for people to abuse systems or to be able to communicate from one entity to another entity and constantly intermingling and basically, you know, for small districts, financially breaking them. So I'd like to see some kind of report as to the fiscal impact that this district has when you get somebody who just wants you to download your systems and send it to them. On the budget, well, I'll talk about that when we get to the budget. Are you going to have a discussion on your budget stuff?
Yeah, I think there's a mid-year budget review and adjustment. Is there anyone else?
Hello to the board. Shirley Gibson from Halcyon. I've just recently started coming to these meetings, but I'd like to remind everybody that it's March 2017, and I'd like to really work on current and future vision. And I don't know why everybody's bringing up things that happened in the past. Thank you.
Is there anyone else? Seeing no one come forward, let me close public comments, bring it back to the board. And I think, Jim, you had a question or a clarification, so you have the floor.
A comment on the timeliness of responding to public records requests. I believe that the spirit of the law is that these are the public's business and that those be turned over as rapidly as possible, not with a not-to-exceed date. And in terms of setting policy for this district, I would request that if necessary, we put it on the agenda to set a policy that those records be turned over as soon as possible. One way that might reduce costs of public records requests is to put more information on the district's website. I know there's been a turnover in the website recently, so it's possible that there's a delay in putting some of the material on there. But the more I think that we can put on the website would tend to reduce the cost of public records requests. I also note that the second commenter had concern about the tapes being not transferred over, and I would hope that those could be restored. I also sympathize with the patently false statements that were made by a former district director.
Okay. Karen, you have anything?
No.
So legal counsel, and can you just kind of remind everyone, Public Records Act requests, I keep hearing the intent, just kind of restate for what the law in fact says.
Good evening, Chair Scholes and board members. The Public Records Act requires a response whether or not you are going to comply with the request within 10 days. And then for a voluminous request or requests that take time to research, you actually have more time to respond. The law, the Public Records Act, to my knowledge, doesn't have a provision in it that says as soon as possible, but provides within 10 days a response shall be given.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure we're clear on that, but I do think the discussion of, I believe we have a policy and maybe we revisit it, but I want to make sure that we are complying with the law. And I think everyone's kind of got their own take. That's why I'm referring to the only person in this room that is district legal counsel. So we're going to move on to our consent agenda. And there are two items on consent tonight. There's the approval of warrants 5A, the approval of minutes of meeting of February 15, 2017. Do any board members want to pull an item from consent?
Not me.
No.
Okay. Is there any member of the community that would like to address the consent agenda tonight? Okay. Seeing no one come forward, let me close it, bring it back. Is someone on the board prepared to make a motion on the consent agenda?
I'll move approval of the consent items as presented.
Second.
Okay. There's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion, let's do roll call.
Chairman Scholes?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Very good. Motion carries. Let's move on to item 6A. This is approval of minutes of the meeting of December 21st, 2016. Mr. Huebner.
I'll just be very brief. You know, this is these minutes have been carried over at least for two meetings. We've had a discussion about the appropriateness of attaching letters that were received to our minutes. I provided comments and feedback on how it's not done by other jurisdictions. I don't know that the district is unique or should be unique in that regard. I don't feel that it's appropriate, but it, of course, is at your board's discretion on how you want to move forward with these minutes.
Okay. Karen?
I don't think we can move forward because we have the same problem on 6A that we had before.
Okay.
And I have not found a window to chase down the video because I wasn't here. I do believe that Ms. Austin will be able to return at the next meeting. So if it could be put forward for another 2 weeks, it's not, I don't believe it's critical time.
Okay.
There's no critical time factor on it, is there?
So, legal counsel, are we okay moving this forward? And I know that folks here from the community are here, and I didn't know if we want to give them an opportunity to speak, or if we just continue this to the next meeting. Well, I'll allow them an opportunity to address it then.
Well, you do have two members who are able to participate, and unless the vote is split, you could approve the minutes tonight on a motion and a second with Director White abstaining.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, pending public comments, I would move approval of the minutes as attached to the board packet for item 6A.
So I want to be clear then, because that we've got minutes in here and we've got letters after it. Are those minutes, are those letters considered to be attachments to the minutes?
That's correct. That's
okay. Well, I haven't changed my view from the last meeting, so I'm not going to second that motion. Let's open this up to the public if you'd like to make a comment.
So maybe for the benefit of the public that wasn't here last time, Mr. Scholes, you should restate your position on that. I believe that your bylaws say that, and I'm sorry I don't have a copy of them handy, but somewhere there's language that says if someone asks that the record reflect that you are to include their comment or their submission, and I believe that these letters were intended to be reflected in the record, and I would make that request at this time. Let the record reflect these letters from the December 21st meeting in the minutes for tonight. So there are going to be part of the record, no matter what, from henceforward.
Is there anyone else?
Patty Welsh, Arroyo Grande. Since I have sent letters, I know people can do public records requests on it, but I don't necessarily want it included in the minutes of an agenda. I don't see it necessary, so that's my viewpoint. Thank you.
Very good. Is there anyone else? Let me close up.
Mary Lou Siociano, I think that if the letters are relevant to the agenda, that would be understandable, but they were left field letters. They were just outside communication, and I actually would check the bylaws, and I think it says let the record reflect whether it's received or filed. They didn't state filed or received, so the record can reflect letters were received. They don't have to include the letters. They're personal attacks.
Very good.
Okay, with the chance that the letters are not going to be included, I'm going to read one of them. In light of Mary Lucy's December 5th letter attached to Wednesday's staff packet, I'd like this response read into the record. Yeah. I would like to remind the board that in 2015, your planned superintendent was harassed by racist emails from a former staffer. The chair at the time, Mayor Jim Hill, reacted swiftly and got police involved. Later that year, when Jeff Edwards, exercising his First Amendment right to free speech that is also protected by the Brown Act, metaphorically spoke at the podium about your then district administrator, Rick Sweet, going off the reservation as his bias towards Oceano CSD continuing to inequitably bill your district customers, when then Director Lucy shot back at him from the dais. Then Vice Chair Scholes presiding over that meeting and allowed Miss Lucy to ramble on about her Native American heritage and her being born on a reservation, then allowed her to call Mr. Edwards a bigot. Miss Lucy's December 15th letter suggests that Mr. Huebner has been defamed by the Cal Coast News. December 4th, 2016 headline, Sanitation District Administrator Accused of Racism. And wants the board to make some further statement in Huberner's defense. But Lucy fails to find the irony that it was she that defamed the district superintendent, John Clemens, a black man, when she went online, misrepresented facts reflected poorly on Clemens, an investigation, and Mayor Hill, in my opinion, this article triggered the whole mess that became an investigation of Huebner and how he treats Clemens. Let me remind you that I was one of three citizens who were contacted by the investigator from Liebert, Cassidy, and Whitmore. She suggests the damage done to this man's reputation, along with the time and money wasted on this, is despicable. Again, I have to opine. It was she who set the wheels of this investigation in motion with her defamation of both Clemens and Hill. She even went so far as to suggest that Clemens was a candidate for the Oceano CSD, that his employment personnel matters were now open to the public. Lucy also suggests the article on CalCoast News publicly is doing damage to the district and its reputation in the business world. She wants the board to come out and show support for this administrator, yet it was perfectly okay for her to defame Clemens and Hill and call Edwards a bigot at that December meeting. She stated that she will never apologize for her opinion piece and further defame Clemens. On and on and on. And I'm going to say that was written by Julie Tacker.
Thank you. That's 3 minutes. Yeah. Was there anyone else? So let me close this to the public, bring it back. Let me then restate. This is not about these letters not being available to the public. This is about whether the letters are attached to the minutes. It is not a typical practice. And at the last meeting, I said that basically they would be included by reference in the minutes and available at the district offices. And if anyone wanted to see those letters, they would still have that ability to do that. And no one is suggesting that they not be. So what I am basically not in support of is attaching letters to minutes, setting a terrible precedent, which is not done elsewhere. And so that's my position. And so at this point, it appears that we cannot take action on this because I think the Mayor Hill and I have a difference of opinion on this item. Jim, you have anything? Or is that accurate?
I think that's accurate.
Very good.
Yes.
So given that we cannot reach agreement on minutes, we'll continue this to another meeting. And I know, and you know what? Let me back up. I didn't send my condolences and best wishes to Board Member Austin, and that's why she was not at the last meeting, is not here tonight. So I want her to know that we are thinking of her and her family. So we're going to continue these items, this particular item, to the next meeting, and hopefully we can have resolution at that time.
I would echo your sentiments and condolences to Director Austin.
Very good.
Certainly.
All right, let's move on to item 6B. This is the District and Plant Superintendent Report. Mr. Huebner.
Thank you, Chair Scholes, directors, members of the audience, Gerhard Huebner. You have your written report in today's packet. I've attempted to, as much as possible, update it and italicized, and I'll go through this hopefully pretty quickly for you, and of course, if you have any questions. Looking at our major capital projects and studies and our Cherry Avenue Sewer Bridge project, the timeline has passed to expect the fish and game permit. I've been in contact with our engineer. In fact, found out that the previous engineer had retired. In any event, we're still waiting to see if something comes in the mail. Nevertheless, we'll be moving forward, hopefully in the near future, to produce the final bid documents. Our grit removal system, as I indicated, is operational and complete. I have a draft submittal for the regional board. We want to capture the cost, and by submitting that, we can complete one of the last obligations under our ACL settlement. We also expect to receive our project record drawings shortly. Our mechanical bar screen project is on schedule. We did actually have a meeting this week that I participated in with the contractor as well as our engineer that's helping us with the project. As you can see, I've updated the schedule in terms of when we expect the equipment, which is the week of April 10th. Shortly thereafter, it'll be installed, and all goes well. Per the contract, they are to be done by the end of May. Regarding our redundancy project, we did have a meeting with the project team this week. All indications are that the CDP will be heard by the Coastal Commission at the May at their May meeting in San Diego. Regarding our grant study, we will be contacting staff. That timeline is also passed now. We haven't received any comments from State Board, so I will be making contact with them very shortly so that we can incorporate any comments and produce a final report in that regard. Regarding our admin control building, we have solicited professional service for an audit of the building so that we can be in compliance with any new building code and disabled access requirements. I've indicated the cost, it's roughly about $4,000. This is something that we need to do. From that audit, we'll get recommendations, and at some point I'll be bringing back those recommendations for your board for any improvements we need to do to be in compliance. I've included a new item here, new capital projects. We've initiated a few of those. The concrete sludge lagoon, that's a concrete slab that will be located behind the centrifuge building. It is budgeted in the adopted budget that your board approved. We have some preliminary engineering design work is complete. We have included it as part of our CDP application so that we didn't have to get separate approval from the Coastal Commission. And so when and if that hearing and hopefully we get that approval, we can move forward with that project. Regarding our primary digester, as you can see here, I've indicated that it's been at the plan a long time, constructed in 65. It is long overdue for its regular cleanout and inspection, last completed in 2005. We've worked with our consulting engineer, MKN. We're also worried about the structural integrity. We've worked on two phases of work. First, we need to get it cleaned out. Once we get it cleaned out, we can look at the structural integrity and any repairs or maintenance we need to do with our primary digester. We consider this a very important project, and certainly we will be including money in next year's fiscal year budget to make sure that we can accomplish this work. Regarding our programmatic initiatives, I presented last week to the Oceana Community Service District. This is a request by their general manager. Essentially, I took three presentations, combined it, talked about what we're doing currently and some of our initiatives, much as I'm presenting to you now. I talked about our redundancy project and the schedule for that, and then also presented similar slides that I presented to you regarding our recycled water planning study. Moving on to our record management initiative, we did receive about 84 boxes back from the district attorney's office. They are in our C-Train, locked away. We've also retained an expert in sanitation records who will start the third week in March. That was the first opportunity this person was available, and this person will be essentially given an assessment helping us with our draft record retention policy and other recommendations. Regarding our personal policy manual update, we report significant progress. We're close to completing our draft and hope to roll it out in the near future, including updated job descriptions. Our strategic planning initiative, right now we're recommending that be delayed to one of our board May meetings. Our financial initiative, we spent quite a bit of time with the auditors from Glenn Burdett. They are working to finalize the draft. Once the draft comes to us, have an opportunity to look at those, any findings. We need to write up a management, what they call a management cover letter. We do expect that to be complete by early March and then bring it to your board, hopefully at your April 5th meeting. And as part of that, there will be a pension report, a GASB 68. We did get that report. We forwarded it to the auditors. They needed that so they could complete their work. Under regional collaboration, Participated in a number of meetings I've listed here in terms of staff with the city of Pismo, Aurora Grande, Grover Beach. I reviewed the EIR proposals, participated in the ranking of those, and provided my feedback to the city of Pismo Beach and others. Regarding our North City Management Group, just mentioned that they are moving forward to get buy-in from the regional board so they can access the SEP funds that were part of our ACL settlement. That's just a regular update. Central Coast Water Reuse participate at lunchtime meetings, and they do have an annual conference coming up, so if anyone's interested, let me know. Flood Zone Advisory Committee, discussions about the recent storms we had, what the impacts it was. I found it something of particular interest, and in fact, I talked with one of the Oceano community members. There's a proposed retention basin being proposed to be constructed that potentially could help the Oceano community. I believe it's on 13th Street. And so, of course, we would support any endeavor to get that funded and constructed as well. So I think I'll conclude with that. Oh, I do want to mention a bit on the last thing on the our MPDS permit. I did meet with regional board staff. This was a request that they had. They wanted to talk about our brine disposal program. There's likely going to be changes in that sampling. I'll be working with board staff to see what impact that would be regarding costs. But you'll likely see some changing in that sampling program and our brine disposal program. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Anyone? Thank you for that report. Any questions of staff?
No.
Karen?
No.
A comment that the previous engineer retired on our Arroyo Grande Sewer Bridge project. I hope we've hired a young engineer this time because he's likely to expend an entire career waiting for the permits to be issued for that project. So... I know that the district staff has worked diligently to try to bring that to fruition, and it's frustrating to see the time that it takes to get a relatively simple project authorized.
I agree, and that was just one morning I decided I needed to call over and see how things were with Gary and Engineer, and they said Malcolm had retired. I said, well, where's the next engineer, and when can I talk to him? And fortunately, they have put somebody immediately on it. He's been briefed up to speed, and we communicated as recent as yesterday.
And then finally, just on the records management initiative with hiring consultants and so forth, that seems on the face of it to be a relatively simple project, so I would be concerned about cost on that and that we keep an eye on the cost.
Absolutely. The amount is, I certainly believe, is reasonable. It's in the $2,000 to $3,000 range.
That it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great. I don't have any additional questions. So, Gerhard, coming back to you. Is that concluding the report?
That concludes my report. And John, did you want to do the superintendent? You're certainly welcome to sit up here or come to the podium if you'd like.
Good evening, board. I'll begin my report with the normal reading. During our reporting period from February 1st to the 23rd, that's when we got our last result. Before we had to prepare this report, the district facility continues to regularly meet its permit limitations as required under the state of California's National Pollutant Elimination Discharge Permit issued to the district. All processes were within permit limits. Our flows are still a bit higher, as you see, an average of 2.73 for our average effluent flow. As compared to last year at 2.23, so that's a full half million gallons a day more that we're getting. And what that highlights is our need for an I&I study. We're talking to our engineers about preparing RFP and getting the information we need to do an INI study. What's happened is, obviously, during the rains, we get a higher amount and we see a much higher flow. But what's happening right now is, even after we're not raining much, we're still seeing a much higher flow than we did at the same time last year. So what that tells us is that there are pipes within our system that are taking on groundwater. Because the water tables come back up, a lot of our pipes are underwater anyway. And this is just evidence that a lot of our pipes are taking on groundwater. And so we need to get into our system and figure out where that's coming from. It's not really news. It was a study that was performed by the prior administrator, the Wallace Group. And they had done a high-level study, and the end of their recommendation was that we would study it more. So now that the rains have returned, it's highlighted our need to do this INI study. Even with the higher flows and the higher concentration number, the plant continues to perform well. I would venture to say as good as ever right now. Our staff continues to work well. You'll see on our call-outs, we have our digester issues. Again, like our director, our administrator mentioned earlier, we haven't cleaned that thing in 13 years. We endeavored to clean it a couple of years ago. Didn't complete that. But at this point, it's filled with debris, and it's causing us extra problems. They don't relate to process. Our process numbers are really good, but they're causing us a lot of extra overtime. So the sooner we get the digester better, the better off we'll be with that. In operations, we troubleshoot our primary clarifier and number two sludge pump and wiring. We were able to troubleshoot that ourselves again. It's kind of fun to see our staff do our own elementary level electrical work, but we were able to troubleshoot that, figure that out, and bring in an electrician to pour wires to correct that system. We repair wires at the number two primary clarifier, drained and refilled primary clarifier number one, unplugged the sludge line, conducted a surplus cell. I think it netted, well, if we include the metals, it was probably close to $500, but if you include just the sale portion, it was more like $14. You sell the pallets for what they go for. So we did complete the surplus sale. We do have a couple things left over. I guess I can say publicly, if someone wants to submit a bid for the bridge, and there's a couple other items, then we'll see what we can do about that. We also had to cut down some fallen trees on the back. So on the back of behind our FFR is a structure building that AT&T used when they had their cell tower there. And so some trees from our own property had fallen across our fence and were laying on that structure and laying on our fence. So we were fortunate, given all the winds and stuff, that we were able to get somebody out there right away. They went on a Saturday and cut all the trees down. All the fallen trees, no fresh trees. I don't want to complain. We had them come in and cut down the trees that had fallen on the structures. With regard to training, staff participated in a Black Widow Brown Recluse Spider Awareness Training. Staff has reviewed our injury and illness prevention program. We like to look at that thing annually. We reviewed it, and now we're going to present it to our staff as a whole. That pretty much concludes the superintendent's report. The board has any more questions?
Thank you, John. Any questions of the superintendent? Karen?
Black widow spiders and brown recluse spiders?
Yeah, we have spiders over there. We have safety meetings about everything. We don't want anybody. We don't want to miss anything, so we even look at the small things.
Well, they're not so small.
Yeah.
If you for buy, small. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Jim?
Just the bridge, was that the one that the sheriff's office was interested in?
Yes.
Could we possibly just offer that to the county for the taking, if that's something that's...
Unless it has value.
So... Yeah, I'm just wondering what is our process for? I know cities have a process for deeming property surplus. I wasn't Sure. Legal counsel?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. That is correct. There is a process to dispose of surplus property in the government code. I don't recall it offhand, but if you wanted to dispose of that, we certainly could look into that.
Yeah, I believe we've already declared it surplus. Attempted to sell it one time, so I know there was another government agency that was interested in.
You're free to donate it then.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then I guess we don't need to look into it. I guess it's just really a matter of staff working with.
We'd love to donate it to them.
And we'll let them know that it's
yeah,
available.
Yeah, we will. Certainly will.
Okay, and then just a comment about the INI study. That's something that's been on my mind, as you know, for some time, and I would hope that the board would authorize that while the groundwater tables are still high. It was relatively easy to figure out what the issues are. When the groundwater tables are much lower, we see far less influent. And so it makes it more difficult to find out what the potential source is. So it would seem to me that this is kind of an ideal time to do that.
Is it in the budget?
Okay.
Is it in the budget?
So we don't know that, and it's not on the agenda. So let's discuss that. Let's discuss that at the end. At the end of this, let's discuss that at the end of this agenda. So
put it on the budget.
Well, I think
put it on the agenda.
Okay. Thank you, John.
Okay. And for the record, the last INI study is on our website. So if someone wanted to review that to see what the recommendations were at that time,
they're
available.
Okay. Let me see if there's anyone from the community that would like to comment on the super district, the district administrator and the superintendent's report.
Julie Tacker, and you guys had a pretty lengthy item a couple weeks ago about Cambria's brine, and I never got the real impression that you were taking it, just that the application had been approved. So are you taking it? When will you be taking it if you're not taking it now? And if you don't take it, if they don't need you after all because they've got their own issues, do you have a refund policy where they could get their retainer back or whatever they had? That was one question I had. Where Mr. Huebner speaks to regional collaboration and the Regional Groundwater Sustainability Project. And on February 23rd, he was invited to participate with staff from the cities of Pismo, Royal Grover to discuss the project. In his report, he speaks to cost sharing. Your board has not considered cost sharing with that project. So when is the sanitation district going to be part of the discussion about cost sharing, and how much are you willing to contribute to that project? You've got Mr. Huebner's time already going there, but what is the actual bottom line? I noticed that Total Compensation Systems Incorporated has been engaged. That's another consultant that I didn't expect. The Glenn, well, let me ask about the strategic planning. That was another consultant that you engaged in October, and I'm not clear why when you postponed the strategic planning from the first part of February, why we have to push all the way to May. You know, at the time, the explanation for postponing was the press release from the district attorney's office. So I don't know how that has anything to do with strategic planning. I don't think you were ready for strategic planning. I still don't think you're healthy enough for a strategic plan. And until you get some of these human resource issues under control, I don't think you have anything to plan for. Mr. Huebner was at the Oceano Community Services District Board meeting last Wednesday, and he was brought there because one of the district board members had a question about some of the things that I've been raising with you about the redundancy project and that but and that there are infrastructure pieces of the of the plant that are aging.
Julie, you need to wrap. That's time. I'll give you 10 seconds to
Let
wrap
me
up.
Just finish this part. The something he said to that board was that the plant is safe from flooding until 2050 or possibly 2070. And I'd like to know what study that can be found in.
Okay. Is there anyone else? Seeing them, when else I'm going to close it, bring it back to the board, and this is just a receive and file, so we will consider it received and filed. Let's move to item 6C. This is a fiscal year 2016-17 second quarter mid-year review, budget performance review. Mr. Huebner.
Thank you, Chair Scholes, board members, members of the audience, Gerhard Huebner. I'll be presenting this item. This is item 6C. Okay, good. I'm on the mic now. This is our fiscal year 2016-17 mid-year quarter budget performance review. Before I start, I want to bring it to your attention and members of the audience that we do have a revised staff report. I have a strikeout markup. Ms. Simpson and I worked on it today. We found a few things that we wanted to bring your attention. So we provided a hard copy for you. And as you see the presentation today, we've incorporated those changes as well. Let's just move. Let's move right into the executive summary. So December 31st, our second quarter ended, or mid-year, closed. Today's presentation provides you an overview of the district's budget performance as it pertains to revenues, expenditures, cash balance of December 31st, 2016. We have a number of tables that are included in your staff report. Table 1 is the revenue side. Table 2 is the overall expenditure performance to the second quarter. Table 3 contains transfers. So this is something new we wanted to point out, something we did, had, and it's not really an expenditure, and I'll describe it when I get to it. And number 4 is we wanted to show you some fund balances. So that's something you new you see in the staff report. So this is really actually, I hope you perceive this as an overall positive report. Overall, the district expended 44% of its budget expenditures at the 50% benchmark. So 50% benchmark is really the sort of the when you look at expenditures and even revenue versus some of the other percentages that you'll see today. On the revenue side, so again, I want to point out, you know, we have, as you know, we have three funds, Fund 19, Fund 20, Fund 26. You see the budgeted amounts. So on the revenue side, 51% received on Fund 19, 41% on Fund 20. Fund 26 is really doesn't receive revenue other than transfers. And overall, we're at the 51% on the revenue side. On the expense side, so here you see Fund 19, 59%. Slightly over overall. Now, I want to point out some of that is attributed to the fine. And I'm going to look at Ms. Simpson. If I make a mistake or I overstate something, please feel chime in, okay? Fund 20, 33%. Fund 26, 7%. And I'll point out that why so little in Fund 20 and 26? Some of those contain some of our major projects. So Headworks, for example, that's a $600,000 roughly expenditure that hasn't hit the books yet. We have a contractor. We received the first invoice, which we're processing. But you'll see some of those. And the Cherry Avenue Lane is another $200,000 budgeted. If, you know, when and if we execute a contract and get expenses, you'll see more hits on that expense side in those funds. On a transfer, this is just to point out what was made over to Fund 26. And so just to give you a little comparison on fund balance, so where they started from and where they are today in terms of their dollar values. So I'm going to go quickly through some of the, I just call them less, greater than, equal to sort of discussion. Now, this isn't, what we tried to do here was try to show a balanced picture. In any budget, you know, there's some accounts that we estimated we'll need this amount of money, and for various reasons, we either didn't use that amount of money or there was some reason not to use the money. So start on the lesser side of the ledger. And keep in mind that really what we're doing here in this exercise is, even though the board doesn't make any adjustments today, it's really kind of filling buckets, moving various monies from various accounts. But overall, we're not asking to additional appropriation, additional revenue, or rate increase in anything. This is all within the framework of the budget and looking at various accounts and do we need to make some adjustments. So that's sort of what I'd like you to keep in mind as we go through this analysis. So we first, you know, we had a student account for a student intern. We had an intern for a few weeks in the summer. We don't anticipate anything through the rest of the year. We are recommending a decrease of $4,000. Unemployment reimbursement, similar. We're recommending at this time $6,000 for a total budget of $8,000. For advertising legal, very little expended, 5%. We're recommending a decrease of $5,000. For to a remainder of $5,000 to remain in that account if and when we needed something along those lines. On our ocean outfall maintenance, that's at 50%. As you know, we share that responsibility with the city of Pismo. So we paid that bill. We recommend $20,000 come out of that budget. Pismo separately paid their amount, and so we no longer need to keep money in that side of the ledger. Cell phones, similarly, we've just seen that we had a little bit too much money and perhaps in that, and we don't anticipate needing as much, so recommend a decrease of $2,000. Source control program or public outreach, really is the call that it is, it's 27%, recommending a decrease of $8,000, leaving some amount for any public outreach that we may conduct the rest of the year. Records management, we've expended zero. We're recommending that be decreased for $5,000 and leaving a total budget of $5,000 to account for the contract that I mentioned earlier and any additional things that may come out of that at this point. So in all, we're looking to move or have adjusted decreases of $50,000 on that side of the ledger. On the greater accounts, we're seeing on the Social Security and Medicare, we're at 63%. We're requesting an increase of $6,000 for a total budget of $61,000. Outside counsel, you can see we've expended 118%. We're requesting an increase of $30,000 for a total budget of $50,000. Attorney fees, 66%, requesting an increase of $24,000 for a budget of $120,000. Human resources, 64%, $20,000 increase for a total budget of $45,000. That's to account, of course, for some of the work we've done on the personal policy manual, but also having a new HR consultant come on. And so we want to make sure that we have sufficient funds to realize some of those initiatives. Computer support, we're requesting an increase of $5,000 for a total budget of $17,000. As you know, we had the website and we completed that, and we also support, we have IT support. So that's where that increase is coming from. Utility rubbish, so we have the grit removal system, and of course we're producing grit, so we need to dispose of that, and so that's where that $6,500 request is coming from. Under account 1980-61, this is where we've been expending some of the improvements at the administration control building, including the flooring. So we've asked for $15,000. Some of that is to account for your previously approved flooring increase. And then, as I mentioned earlier, we have to do an ADA compliance audit. So all total, we're asking for adjusted increases of $111,500. So right now, we are looking, if you do the math on the lesser and the greater, the difference is $61,500. We're recommending that it come out of your contingency account. It's $100,000 that was set up previously. We haven't accessed it to a great degree. You could also, of course, take it out of the fund balance. That's another option for you, but this seems simple enough for us in terms of how to make that adjustment, the overall adjustment. This is just an account we set up for gas and oil. It's low. It's just an example of, well, why is there only 14%? Aren't you in a regular producing diesel? Well, we're looking to purchase that. We will purchase that as we're in the process of replacing that diesel tank. So once that's occurred, of course, we'll be purchasing and filling that tank. These are some of the expenses that are greater. At this point, we're monitoring. We don't recommend any changes. The admin office space, it's 83%. We believe there is sufficient to cover rent for the remainder of the fiscal year. Electrical, it is slightly higher. Could be accounting for, of course, the winter time. We are using our centrifuge quite a bit. Of course, we have the grit removal system that all generates our need for electricity. It is a big expense, so that's why I've included it here. As a percentage, if it goes high, we definitely want to monitor it. But at this point, we're not recommending any changes. Regarding plant chemicals, same. It's a big expense that the district, we're going to monitor it. We'll see. It may come down, in which case there will be no issues by the end of the fiscal year. And then same with permit, license, and fees. We think we're in pretty good shape, but there may be something that comes in that we need to, a permit we need to renew, in which case we would ask for an adjustment, but not at this time. Related to some projects that have started, just begun, our audit. Now, I've mentioned that it's underway. We haven't received any bills yet. We certainly will, and we have money set aside to cover that. Strategic planning, same. Now, we have received bills, and your board has approved on the warrant, but you have to remember this are expenses through the end of the year, December 31st, so they haven't necessarily hit the books. Third quarter report would, of course, show these. The sewer video log, 0%. This is another important initiative. We haven't started that yet. All being said, we're not asking for any adjustments at this time on these accounts or line items. One-time expenditures, so of course they're high because we just paid them up front. That's our unfunded liability, our LAFCO budget share, and our Zone 1-1A agreement. These are adjustments to reflect previous board actions. As you recall, the purchase of the diesel fuel tank and to move the purchase of the lab furnace and lab media dispenser to next fiscal year. So that's just a reminder. And then this adjustment was done internally into the accounts on the schedule 2016B1. Major projects nearing completion. So one of the things that it just occurred to me certainly is we have these big projects. Probably want to know how much did it really come in. So at this point, again, December 31st, grit removal system 94%, SCADA 85%, and then the ACL fine. So we had put aside $1.1 million budgeted, and we've put out $887,850. Of course, that difference, of course, is now going to be available for us to spend on other projects or other initiatives or priorities that the board directs us to do. So in conclusion, overall, I hope you see that the expenditures remain below the adopted budget amounts in many of the accounts, not all. We think it's a very good picture with our budget. We'll continue to monitor the budget amounts, and then hopefully folks realize we are looking out to provide the most benefit investment of the district's funds per the goals and priorities of the board. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. what we've done, you have a resolution before you, 2017-363. We're authorizing the budgetary adjustments as they're detailed in Exhibit Number A. So any changes you have in red line, we've also provided those to you today. And that concludes my presentation.
Thank you for that staff report. Let's see if there's any questions. Karen, you have anything?
Not really, no.
Jim?
I have some comment, but not really questions.
Okay, and I don't have any questions. Let me open this up to the public. Is there anyone from the community that would like to address the item before the board?
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker. And kind of starting at the beginning with the intern, student interns. While you spent $960 last summer and don't anticipate to have any more expenditures for this summer, I'm confused in that summer starts in June. Your budget cycle doesn't end until June 30. So you really need to have some money available to start the program for this coming summer. So I think that should be addressed. The source control program, he's recommending, Mr. Huebner's recommending a decrease. And I thought those were going to be quarterly newsletters. It came out one time. Maybe they're semi-annual something. I don't know. But you engaged a consultant to produce those, and they are not happening on any regularity. So I just kind of wanted to see the goals that you set forth when you set your budget to be followed through with, rather than shifting money away so that it can cover the overages of things that you didn't really have any control over. In particular, the increase in IT. Mr. Huebner has not been asking you along the way. He's been spending this money. I've seen the invoices associated with IT, and a considerable amount was spent on setting up the trailer. The trailer, a temporary facility. While there's enough money left in the budget for the trailer, I don't know that those costs for IT or furniture or phones and that sort of thing are being attributed to that line item. Because if they are, I think you'd be maybe over budget on the trailer. My understanding when you authorized $15,000 for administrative offices, that was the highest amount of money you were going to go and maybe go off-site. There would be a cost-benefit analysis that said you would maybe get a trailer, and the trailer would be ideally save money. So that doesn't seem to be panning out. And then my last comment is the costs associated with legal continue to increase. What I have tremendous heartburn over is that investigations were implemented without a board action. I recall you've got an item on an investigation later tonight, but you also, we all remember the Knutson investigation, very public process.
Julie, that's your time.
And I'd like to know when your board's going to address these in public, because they have set you on a path for very expensive law.
Is there anyone else?
I'm Debbie Peterson, City of Grover Beach, and I have a few questions on the budget. I'd like to respond first to one of the newer folks from the public who's coming here, who was suggesting that we quit looking to the past and look to the future, and that's a very good question, a very good suggestion. I think when you've been here watching for since 2002, and it took us 15 years of whistleblowing to get that Knudsen report, which ultimately ended in the DA making felony and misdemeanor charges, then you watch very, very carefully. And when you start seeing signs that you're slipping back to where you were, that becomes very, very worrying. And so, yes, you talk about the past and you raise those red flags again. And so if I could just talk about a few of those red flags.
Debbie, are your comments on the mid-year budget adjustment?
I'm just getting there, if that's okay with you.
Very good.
So what I wanted to ask, what I wanted to say first of all is that the comment was made that our expenses are under, but from what I'm seeing at the bottom line, basically all we've done is take money from contingencies. And our expenses aren't under. We're just exactly even on the budget. We're not less. We're even by the time we remove things from the contingencies. If I'm wrong, I'd like to hear that. I also would like to suggest that anytime that you see so much money spent on legal and continuing to be spent on legal, it is a huge red flag. There is something wrong. And so my response, were I a director, and I am not, would be no. You can't have any more money for legal. Get it under control. Mr. Administrator, you're in charge. Sort it out. And you've got your budget. Work within it. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Good evening, Board. Beatrice Spencer, Roy Grandy, ratepayer. I just quickly made notes on the budget items that to me are very concerning. Increasing the attorney's fees by $24,000, increasing outside counsel fees by $50,000, increasing HR fees by $20,000. You have 10 employees. You look at the price per employee that you're spending on these things, which don't contribute anything to the performance of the plant. This is very alarming. This isn't just a matter of moving things from one bucket to another and everything is swell. This is very alarming. I would be very concerned if somebody came to me and said, oh, here's your budget. Let's add $215,000 for outside things that actually do not benefit your plant in one way at all. When you're spending this much on legal fees, you have a problem.
Is there anyone else?
Mary Luciano, I realize that, we do spend a lot in legal fees, and sometimes you have to do that when you're dealing with HR. But under the law, special service districts have to have legal counsel sitting at the dais, and when there's a constant threat of litigation, by law, you have to get an attorney, you have to do investigations, and you have to do it right. So, you know, I don't like spending money on legal, but I don't like spending money on a lot of things, so I don't think it's that much, and I think we have to stay within the law and do the right thing.
Very good. Anyone else? Seeing no one come forward, let me close it, bring it back to the board. Jim, you said you had comments.
Well, I think some of the commenters were exactly on point. Outside counsel, an increase of $30,000. Attorney's fees, an increase of $24,000. HR services, an increase of $20,000. Computer support, an increase of $5,000. That's more than $75,000 that... many of these things, what alarms me, did not come to the board for individual approval in terms of investigations and so forth. And I agree that I think we've set aside a reasonable amount of money, and I'm not inclined to support larger expenditures on those line items.
Those are all your comments?
Those are my comments.
Okay. Karen?
None.
Okay. So there's obviously been some comments made tonight, and I think one of the speakers talked about we have legal counsel that's on contract. We have employees who have expressed concerns, and I think someone even talked about whistleblowers earlier. And so if we are trying to get to the bottom of claims and allegations, it comes with a cost. And so we're trying to get to the bottom of that. And I agree that spending all this money on legal is not where we should be, want to be, and we're trying to get out of that. But clearly there are things that are going on that need to be addressed. And I'm convinced that given that we had set a budget, we are halfway through the fiscal year, that basically I've got a district manager whose primary job is, in fact, to monitor this budget and provide information to us. So it's unfortunate we find ourselves in a situation, but we do have a budget. We are going to need to address these things, because other than not funding it, I don't know how we address and do these things in a fair way for ratepayers and for employees and clearly for the community. So I think at this point we do have a recommendation from staff. And we'll see if someone wants to.
Mr. Chair, try if I might make an additional comment. I've indicated my concerns to council of spending money that's not come to the board for approval in fairly large quantities. And that is the reason that I cannot support these items. Not that on occasion I may agree that we need to conduct certain investigations, we may find ourselves in need of legal services. My concern is that those items need to come to the board for approval before the money is spent.
Mr. Huebner, do you have anything you want to add?
Not in the sense that some of these expenses, when folks look to my specifically, there is times where legal counsel is sought by board members, all board members, individual board members. There's times where staff have availed themselves of legal counsel, HR services. So there's a little bit of education in terms of the services that we have available to the board as well as to our employees. And we do have lawful obligations, whether they're investigations, whether they're grievances. These are all things that occurred over the past 6 months, 8 months, 9 months, as all have a cost to doing business at the district. And so this is nothing new in terms of these expenditures. And as far as I know, this has all been done with board oversight and under my purchasing authority delegated to the board. So those are just my comments. Thank you.
Very good. Legal counsel, you have anything you want to add?
Thank you, Chair Schultz. That all actions have been done in accordance with the personnel policy manual and authority contained therein.
Very good. Karen, you have something?
No, you want me to make a motion?
If you're prepared to, someone
yes.
wants to make a motion?
Yes. I make a motion we adopt resolution number 2017-363, authorizing the budgeting adjustments as detailed in exhibit number one.
Okay, I'm going to second that. Is there any additional discussion? If not, we'll do a roll call.
Chairman Schultz?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Hill?
No.
Okay, let's move on to item 6D. This is a corrections to Exhibit A contributions on behalf of employee and the 2016-17 salary base range monthly compensation table as contained as part of resolution number 2016-349. Mr. Huebner, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chair Schultz, directors, members of the audience. Gerhard Huebner again. This is item 6D. This is corrections to Exhibit A, contributions on behalf of employee, and the fiscal year salary range monthly compensation table is contained as part of resolution number 2016-349. So we brought this item to you today, really sort of a housekeeping item. These were tables and narratives. So employee benefit narrative, or what we call Exhibit A, is typically attached every year, as far as I can tell, the last few years. But certainly back in June, we included that, as well as the salary schedule table, back at the approval of the June 15th budget year. Subsequent review and assistance from our HR consultant, we discovered a number of corrections that needed to be made to both documents. Now, you may ask, why? What's the importance of this? Why today? Well, one, we wanted to do this for a while. We could have waited to the next budget cycle, but we certainly did not want to incur any CalPERS audit, and certainly wanted to set the stage for our upcoming 2017-18 budget process. So that's the reason. So really, this is, as you'll see, this is a bit of a housekeeping exercise moving forward. So Exhibit A, as I mentioned, is contributions on behalf of our employees. So that lists our employees' benefits, vacation, medical, sick. So there are sections that had, in particular, about increase for higher operator grade and adjustment for lab technicians that needed to be deleted. So we're proposing this change, recommend this change, to avoid a clear conflict and ensure that our lab technicians continues to receive the 2.5 stipends and also not subject to CalPERS contributions. I see there's a typo on the slide. Holidays also are listed in resolution number 62, not 61. So a simple typo correction that needs to be made on this particular item. Moving on to the 2016-2017 fiscal year salary schedule, the corrections should have referred to resolution 349, not resolution 340. The second correction is to remove the 1.5 COLA, or cost of living notation. That was not a new cost of living that the board approved. That had already been incorporated into the COLA, already been included in the salary schedule, so there was no need to do that to avoid any confusion. Simple formatting, align others to indicate it pertains to board members and alternatives, not to district council. The student assistant really, or intern really needed to be called summer intern. That's what the board approved. And that the pay of rate should be $12 an hour, not $15. The plant worker classification needed to be added back with reference to the language in resolution 2016-340. This again would avoid any CalPERS audit and any discrepancy with our retired annuitant. So we have a retired annuitant that works there. We certainly do not want to jeopardize any retirement that he receives, and so that's why that needs to be added back. Also, with volunteers, we added back the related language with reference to resolution number 76. Volunteers then could be covered under workman's comp. This is to protect the district. I've also included, and we saw since we published and posted the agenda, you have copies in front of you. It should have listed the steps as A, B, C, D versus 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Simple correction. And also that the authorized number of positions should be 10 and not 11 as shown. So with that, we ask you to consider and approve the corrections to Exhibit A, the contributions, and again, revised hard copy for you, contributions on behalf of the employee, and the 2016-17 salary range monthly compensation table that was contained within the resolution 2016-349. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for the staff report. Any questions of staff? Jim? Karen?
This is mostly just housekeeping.
Correct. Yes.
There's no changes that...
There's no change to employee benefits. There's no change to salary. There's no COLA increase. There's no financial implication.
Thank you. Just want to be reassured of that.
Okay. Is there anyone from the community that would like to address the item before the board? Seeing no one come forward, let me close it and bring it back. See if there's someone prepared to make a motion on this item.
Mr. Chair, I would move approval of corrections to Exhibit A contributions on behalf of employees and the fiscal year salary range monthly compensation table is contained as part of resolution number 2016-349. which is as the amendments, the lately delivered amendments, indicate.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion, roll call.
Chairman Schultz?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Okay, let's move on to item 6E tonight. This is a request by the City of Royal Grande to participate in a joint investigation.
Mr. Chair, on the advice of counsel, I'm going to recuse myself from this item.
Okay, very good. We'll, hopefully the conference room is open right around the corner there. Legal counsel.
Thank you, Chair Schultz. You have before you tonight a request by the City of Arroyo Grande to participate in a joint investigation of alleged misconduct against Mayor Hill, a request to share costs of that investigation, which is estimated at $15,000. On January 24th, of this year, allegations were made at the Arroyo Grande, public allegations were made at the Arroyo Grande City Council meeting, identifying a number of alleged violations and misconduct. Similar allegations were made before this board during your meeting on February 1st, 2017, by a member or members of the public. The City of Arroyo Grande is going forward with an investigation and would like to retain the law firm of Liebert, Castine, and Whitmore to perform that investigation. They are proposing that a non-attorney investigator conduct the independent investigation. This person would charge approximately $125 an hour, which is substantially less than attorneys charge. It would take approximately 4 to 6 weeks to complete, and the independent investigator would issue factual findings, and then the law firm of Liebert, Castine, and Whitmore would provide recommendations and any legal conclusions. As you are aware, we do use this district does use Liebert, Castine, and Whitmore, so in order to effectuate the joint representation, this district would have to approve that and authorize me to enter into a conflict waiver. If this board does not approve that joint representation, it's my understanding that the law firm of Liebert, Castine, Whitmore cannot be used, and Arroyo Grande would have to seek other outside counsel. That concludes my staff report.
Okay, very good. Karen, you have any questions? Or?
No questions, no.
Okay. And I don't have any questions, so let me open this up to the public. Is there anyone that would like to come forward and address the item before the board tonight?
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I sent the board members an email. I'm sorry I didn't send it to Karen. Hopefully it was forwarded to her. I do have... I have mixed feelings about this. My first thought is don't spend a nickel. I would say the same to Arroyo Grande. My second thought is go ahead. Mr. Hill is the most transparent elected official I've ever met. And this board and City of Arroyo Grande and Oceano before are all lucky to have had him as their representative. My main concern is Liebert, Castine, Whitmore. Liebert, Castine, Whitmore was consulted by the City of Arroyo Grande, and they recommended that an independent investigation take place, and they are the firm getting the job. That's a conflict of interest.
I would love to recommend that you hire me to do the job. So that doesn't make sense, and I think in light of the work they are doing and have done in your district, this district, I think a fresh pair of eyes makes better sense. And if you are going to contribute to the investigation, that you ask for a different legal counsel. Do not waive the conflict. Ask for the fresh set of eyes. The result's going to be the same. Mr. Hill is going to be exonerated. This is ridiculous. It's a waste of ratepayer money. But if you're going to do it with clean hands. And Liebert Cassidy Whitmore is not the firm to carry out the investigation.
Is anyone else?
Otis Page, I'm a customer of yours. I asked the city to provide to me the allegations that are being made against Mr. Hill. They refused to give them to me. Have you received in writing a specified set of allegations for which you will make the decision on tonight? I feel, on looking at the record in this matter, that coincident with the presentation made on January 24th, the suit was filed by the district attorney. Now, Jim Hill has an excellent reputation in Arroyo Grande. He has been disparaged by this act. Okay? That's unfair. Jim Hill stood with a write-in vote when Arroyo Grande had problems and became the mayor. In the last election, he was opposed by three council members. He was opposed in supporting another candidate. He came with the largest vote count in Arroyo Grande. And I suggest to you respectfully, you are now not only facing this matter of investigation, you're facing the issue of the court of public opinion, and that is unanimous that this was an intimidation act by people to some way compromise Hill's reputation based on the conduct that he's had in the past with Debbie Peterson, on the issues that are now confronted legally by Dow's suit. I suggest you not investigate until the litigation on the Dow issue as filed against my good friend John Wallace is settled. Because we have the issue Garo and Lucy, not citizens of Arroyo Grande, making the complaint to Arroyo Grande, joining a citizen who's here tonight on an issue of Brown Act violation, which is outside of the pale of reasonableness. It doesn't make sense. If you want to spend your new budgeted lawyer fees in doing that, fine. Maybe that'll clear the record. But I really believe that this is a very sensitive matter. People in Roy Grandy are very upset. And that was evident at last night's council meeting. This baby's got legs politically. And respecting your council's decision on this, I suggest strongly don't join that party. It's a loser.
Anyone else?
I'd like to go back to the arguments about having to spend money on defending lawsuits. And again, you get legal claims because of bad management. You get legal claims because of poor risk management, poor leadership, and you get legal claims because you do not respond to whistleblowers. And I would posit that these claims are frivolous, they're vindictive, they're misconstrued. And I'd like to quote Knudsen and Associates again on page 10 of the Knudsen Report, where it was said, and this was over a year ago now, the political climate at the district board is still at toxic levels. And in our view, this climate has slowed or impeded the progress of the current management of our district as it attempts to move forward. So I would suggest to the board tonight that you can turn around that leadership style, you can stop this toxic style of management, and you can put out a statement to say that you don't believe that there's been a violation and you do not support an investigation. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Ron Holt, Arroyo Grande. I don't always agree with Mrs. Tacker, usually, but not always. But I do want to fully endorse what she has said tonight. It reflects my feelings exactly, too. Thank you.
Thank you for those comments. Anyone else?
Good evening, Beatrice Spencer, Arroyo Grande. I have just one comment about the conflict that I see with Lieberman, and that is that a couple of years ago when we were having issues in our city, our legal counsel decided to do an internal investigation. That was met with resounding howls and screams from the public. That did not sit well because they were investigating themselves and it didn't work. And so not only did the ratepayers in Arroyo Grande spend money for our legal counsel to investigate the city, then we had to go out and hire another investigator because the citizens refused to accept the findings of the city investigating itself. And I would submit that you're putting yourselves up for the very same position here. You're talking, Julie had it right on the head. If I'm going to tell you that you need an investigation and I'm the person you should hire to do it, that seems to be a conflict. Don't fall into the trap that Arroyo Grande did, because your ratepayers are not going to be happy and we're not going to be satisfied when you have someone who's benefiting financially from doing the investigation, suggesting the investigation in the first place. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. When the city brought this issue forward, one of their concerns was that they had a closed session regarding their significant exposure to litigation because of the allegations regarding violations of the Brown Act. I would assume that the sanitation district could have the same problem, exposure to litigation. So I think it's your responsibility to hold elected officials accountable for their actions, and therefore you need to follow through and investigate the allegations. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Mary Lucio Sciano, Chairman Scholes, was it $50,000 total to be divided between the two cities? So would it be $7,500 for the sand district? Is that correct?
Legal counsel?
Yes, that is correct. The estimate is $15,000. That would be, their request is that we share 50% of the cost of the investigation.
Okay.
So the same people who demanded that this small district investigate John Wallace spent almost $100,000 doing it, and this board went along with it, and they did that investigation, you know, and where that goes, I'm not going to say, nor do I have any involvement in any of that, even though people continually try to tie Mr. Guerrero and myself to the Wallace case. We did not go to Arroyo Grande and provide information. We went and supported a person who was providing information and asked for an investigation. If you want to talk about conflict, perceived conflict of interest is sometimes worse than the conflict itself. So when Mr. Hill commented on the legal expenses under the budget, I felt that that was a conflict, knowing that he would have to recuse himself or graciously recuse himself from the discussion, but still was able to vote against budget modifications because of the legal line item. When you have one document and it has three stories attached to it, that's grounds for an investigation. These are elected people. We expect them to do the utmost responsible thing. And so I think it's a small, small price to pay for what this district has gone through. And if Mr. Hill, the mayor of Arroyo Grande, who admitted in Cal Coast News that he shares information, if it turns out that he's clean as a whistle, I'll be the first one to stand up and be happy, you know, that there was a positive outcome. But you have to remember, too, is that a city manager asked for an investigation. It wasn't somebody from, you know, outside in the neighborhood, a disgruntled, you know, loudmouth woman from Arroyo Grande. It was a city manager from Arroyo Grande. It wasn't somebody from Oceano. You know, we said support the request. That's what we said. So fresh eyes are going to cost you thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars more. This firm knows this district. They know all the board members. They know all the staff. They've done investigations. So if you go to another firm, you're going to have to play catch up. You know, so I say, don't table it. Move on. Spend the $7,500. Clear the good man's name, and let's roll.
Is there anyone else? Casey.
I would just say, if there's that much knowledge about this district, there might be a conflict of interest. I also would like to know what the allegations are before you decide to go forward with this. I would prefer that we go with an independent counsel or independent investigator. I think it's important to get this cleared up. I'm sure that Mayor Hill will be cleared. It's unfortunate when allegations are made that we do have to investigate them, and it's necessary now. I don't like spending the money. I really don't like that. And we're going to have to go forth with this investigation. I just say, let's do it independently of Arroyo Grande with an independent investigator, not this firm that has been suggested that works for this district.
Is there anyone else? Okay, seeing no one come forward, let me close it and bring it back. And I just want to go back to... Yes, good.
I got something I want to say.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I just want to go back to legal counsel to just reiterate what's before us tonight.
You have before you tonight a request by the City of Arroyo Grande to participate in a joint investigation of misconduct by Mayor Hill, alleged misconduct, and that it's related to this district because of his role here on the board. So there is a connection, and that is why they made the request. If this board is inclined to agree to their request, I would have a few suggestions for the motion.
Okay. Karen?
Yeah, I got something to say, and I wrote it so that I might get it straight. I am dismayed and discouraged by the almost continual parasitic actions of those who seek personal glory based on, from my viewpoint, petty politics or for unexplained reasons. This continues to suck the financial lifeblood out of South County government entities, which should be using their money and manpower to move forward in the area's actual needs, such as water reclamation and sewer plant redundancy. This discord continually focuses on what has happened in the past, not what needs to happen to move the five cities forward. It gets both frustrating and tiresome to hear the same old melodies week after week. I believe it also discourages more citizens from actually coming forward to assist in solving the problems faced in this area. There should be less energy put into destructive, divisive actions and more efforts toward constructive solutions to the area's real challenges. With all this said, I am supporting the joint retention of an outside firm to conduct the proposed ongoing study of the most recent allegations. And maybe, just maybe, this will be the last time such an action is needed. However, I doubt it. So with that, I make a motion that we join Roy Grandy in hiring a firm to investigate the recent allegations of Roy Grandy's mayor, or focused on Roy Grandy's mayor.
Legal counsel, you said you had some suggestions on if there was a motion.
Yes. I would suggest that the motion include authorization for your district council to execute any contract amendments that may be necessary with Lieber, Cassidy, and Whitmore, to execute any conflict waiver that may be necessary to effectuate this joint representation.
I would add that to my motion, okay, as spelled out by the attorney.
And the motion would be to share 50% of the cost of the investigation.
Okay. I'm going to second that motion, and we're going to have some discussion. So I know we've heard a lot of comments tonight. We heard a lot of people talk about the Knudsen investigation, and when that came forward, I supported that. I voted for that, and we said we wanted to let the facts come out, and I did not want to engage in a witch hunt, and I still maintain that position. Now, while the only thing before us tonight is do we join Arroyo Grande and share in that cost, because they're going to go forward without this involvement from this district or not. But I do want to say I take allegations from a community member very seriously, and we've had a community member and a ratepayer who has provided documentation to the city of Arroyo Grande, and they have looked at that information and determined that there was sufficient evidence to at least proceed with an investigation. That was not easy for this individual to come forward, and I find it a bit disingenuous when people talk about protecting whistleblowers. So we've had someone who has come forward. It was not an easy thing to do, and I really appreciate that. Ms. Gibson hit it right on the head, that basically this district is at exposure to litigation, and we continue to have these issues that are either brought on through obviously things that are going on from a personnel matter or what is before what the city of Rio Grande has addressed. And I think many have said, and this is not, like I said, a witch hunt. I actually like working with Jim. And if we have to go through this to clear his name, then we need to get to the facts and get to the bottom of this. And so I'm going to support this motion because we have to get to the bottom of this. We need to figure out how to move forward. And so with that, I again want to thank the community member. I'm not mentioning a name. I think everyone knows who that individual is. And I can tell you they've not always been a fan of mine and was held my feet to the fire during the discussion about the Knudsen investigation. But my job up here is to get to the bottom. I think it would be a dereliction of duty if we did not try and respond to these and get to the facts and get the information out there. So with that, there is a motion. There is a second. I guess we don't need to do a roll call, but let's just do a roll call. Okay.
Chairman Schultz?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. I think with that, we have a closed session item coming up. And I think we should allow Mayor Hill to return. If
Okay, John, we need to move on.
We just stay here.
So we're going to move on to item 7. It's a closed session, and this is conference with labor negotiators pursuant to government code section 54957.6. Agency designated representative, district administrator, and then there is employee organization, which is the Service Employees International Union Local 620, non-represented management and non-represented employees. Legal counsel, did I miss anything under the closed session?
No, you didn't.
Okay, very good. Is there any member of the community that would like to address closed session? Okay, seeing no one come forward, we are going to adjourn or recess in the closed session. Do we want to do that here, or do we want to go into the conference room? Let's go in the conference room. We can allow folks to remain here.